This is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 19 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground. There they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
You know, usually when I put a message together, it's about 80% content and 20% Holy Spirit. And so it's vice versa today. And let me just give it, because I really feel anointed by the Holy Spirit to the point I'm not sure what's going on. But all I know is you're here for a purpose and a reason to hear this, whoever it is. Because vulnerability as a pastor is very difficult when you're vulnerable and you share your heart and stuff you go through. But I want to encourage you, if you're here today and this speaks to you, the Holy Spirit loves you so much as using someone like me to be authentic, to touch your heart, to move you. If not, then I would continue to pray. So someone's out there that really needs hope. Someone's out there that really needs joy. Someone's out there that's just feeling like I give up. And so let me open in prayer, and then I'm going to, it's going to be a little different type of message, and just pray with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to get in your word. We thank you, Lord, for you. We thank you, Lord, that you are using me to speak your word. I'm so humbled, Lord. And I love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. My wife asked me a question. We were watching one of those crazy Dateline episodes that she watches all the time that morphs her whole attitude towards life sometimes. It's like everyone's killing everyone when you watch constantly shows. She asked me this question: is it true, Kevin, that people live three different lives? Public, a private, and a life in secret. And without thinking, I say, yeah, it's true. And then she goes, I understand the public, but the private, but I don't get the secret. And she asked me, do you live three different lives? And I said, without thinking, yes. It's not a moral, it's a psychological. Because what happens is we seek validation all the time in life. And I've always wanted to be validated by my father. And an incident happened last week that I discovered and came to the conclusion, it's not going to happen. It's not. And so sometimes the truth is hard. The reality is hard. This happened the same day that I said bye to Jeff and Pastor Marissa. And I remember I had a big meeting with a small group leaders that night, so I didn't have time to emotionally let go. So I came home and I have a little Echo, an Amazon Echo. I don't know if you guys have one of those. And I go, Alexa. Get me out of here. No, I didn't. Alexa, play Kurt Franklin. Because I needed to be inspired. I'm going to play a minute and 48 seconds how a song just changes you. So can you play what Alexa played, the first song?
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just want to be happy. But if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand. If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
But it only works
if you want to be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you want to be happy?
Yeah.
I just want to be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to...
The Lord sometimes inspires somebody to give a prophetic word that somebody hear. And Renee has a gift of propheticness, and she gave me the nod. So go ahead.
Good morning. You know, the Lord has been dealing with each and every one of us in reference to our authenticity, our honesty, and our walk with Christ. And you know, it's not about religion. It's not about coming to church every Sunday. It's not about smiling and looking your best and doing what you think is the best, that third person that Pastor Kevin just talked about. It's about the privateness in our hearts. And I'm going to say today, for us today, as we hear this sermon, to search our hearts. I remember, and if you don't mind me just sharing this, and Nathan, I'm going to put you on the spot. I remember a week ago we had dinner together, and one of the things Nathan brought up was, help me out, Nathan. What is the one thing that you don't want me to know about you? I'm going to say it again. What is the one thing that you do not want to know about me? God's saying, search our hearts. God's saying, be authentic with ourselves. Not just listen to the words, go through the routine, hear the sermons. That's what a lot of us do. God is saying, search your heart. God is saying, stand firm and believe in his word. Either you're going to believe or you're not. It's going to be a decision you're going to make. And as the sermon goes forth today, I ask that you search your heart. I ask that you ask yourself, what is that one thing I wouldn't want anybody to know? God will share that. Can I just share a couple of words with you? And then give the mic back to the pastor, because he's preaching, not me. I will not give up. Even though I may not be surrounded, even though I may be surrounded by oppressors, I am never smothered or crushed by them. I may suffer embarrassment and become perplexed. It may seem that there is no way out, but I still will not be driven by despair. Even though I may be pursued, persecuted, and hard-driven, God will never, never desert me and make me stand alone. Even though I may be struck down to the ground, I will never be struck out or destroyed. No matter what difficulties or obstacles may come my way, I will never, never, never quit. I will stand on the word of God. I will believe his word in the most times when I know that the whole universe seems that it's on my head. And some of you in this room have that. Reed, I'm looking at your faces. I won't call out anybody, but I know some of you are hurting. Some of you have this morning thought, should I go or should I not? I should just keep my head buried under this cover. But God has something for us today, and I want you to open your hearts and receive. Amen?
Thank you. We're going to focus on the passage in Romans. I wanted to do Matthew, but Romans is something that I think we all need to hear. And it's a life-changing in Romans chapter 8. And the thing is, many of us do what we call condemning statements to ourselves. That we are our worst enemies. That there should be an anti-bullying law in your heart. Because you say some terrible stuff about yourself. You believe some terrible stuff about yourself. There's times where I would say, you know what, I'm no good. I can't do this. I can't project this image that I have it perfect, that my walk with the Lord is perfect and I don't have any struggle. I can't project this because it's a lack of authenticity. And so when I read the scripture, there's no condemnation in those who love the Lord. I go, wow, my goodness, why am I having such a difficult time believing the word of God rather than the word of man? Why do I have difficulties putting so much weight on what somebody says out of their brokenness than putting no weight in God's word? See, there's a lot of us out there that say there's no future for me. But in the word of God, it says there's no separation from God. And then I'm going, that should give me some sense of security in life. Now, again, I told my wife, it's not a moral thing, it's a psychological thing, the secretness of my life. And so there's ways that we can deal with this. We can just keep busy being busy, and we know how to do that, don't we? That we keep our schedule very heavy and we do this and do that and we're just busy being busy. Because a lot of us know we don't want to think about the true self. We don't want to think about the secret psychological life that we're going through or we're doing. But if we have the courage, we can examine it. And we can say, why am I going through this? In the light of examining it, there's two things I want to focus on that I need to focus on is listening to the word of God and understanding the first point is hearing God's promises. We live in a world that promises are so empty now. Your word is empty. Or someone says something, you go, I don't believe it because everything's fake. And so therefore I'm realizing God's word is not fake. In fact, if you look at Romans chapter 3, Paul is very straightforward and very honest. He goes, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. And so this is where the therefore comes in. This is where the problem is our consciousness. In Romans 7, if you look in the previous chapter in Romans 7, Paul's saying, look, I've tried living this life. I've tried projecting this. I've done everything religiously perfect. I've obeyed the law. I've done this. But there's still an emptiness and brokenness inside of me. And so when you look at Romans 8, beginning of verse 1, it says on the screen, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are Christ Jesus. That's an incredible promise. Why do we have difficulty believing it? And then 1700 years later, after the Bible was inspired by God, they decided that they'll put chapters and verses in it. They didn't write it that way. And so sometimes they break the chapters and verses in this unusual way that when you see the beginning of chapter, the chapter that we're focusing on, it begins, therefore. Therefore what? You know, you look before, what happened? So when you connect verse 7, the last verse in chapter 7 and the beginning of verse 8, which should not be separated, it makes a lot of sense to me. It says this, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to law. But therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Change happens not with us, but through Christ. Change happens when I have this relationship with Jesus Christ, but there is no condemnation. That's what's incredible. But let me show you what condemnation is not. The scripture does not say there is no mistakes in those in Christ Jesus. Amen? It doesn't say there is no failures in the ones that are in Christ Jesus or mistakes. Because we all have done that. We don't live these perfect lives. This is why God has given us grace. That's why we need to give each other grace. And so what does this mean that there is no condemnation? The first one I'm discovering, God is not ticked off at me. Sometimes you have this pursuit of perfection to be the perfect husband, to be the perfect pastor, to be the perfect father, and all this stuff because we're afraid God's mad if things go wrong. Have you ever done that? What did I do to God for living like this? Why is this happening to me? And so you look at Psalms 103, it says, as a father who has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion of those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are just dust. God understands and gets your struggles in secret. He gets it. He understands. This is where Christ goes, I know all three parts of your life, and I still love you to death. There's no secrets without Christ. God understands the struggles you're going through. You have to understand, he uses analogy as a shepherd and a sheep, correct? And we're the sheep, obviously, we're not the shepherd. Our problem is we try to be the shepherd, but we're not. And so when you see a sheep that's stuck in the thicket, that all of a sudden made choices in life or choices that happened to them where they're stuck in a situation that they cannot get themselves out of, that when they go left, it hurts and pain. When they go right, it hurts and pain. I don't know if you've ever been there. Any decision is going to be painful. And so you just sit in this area of your life that seems to go on forever and ever and ever. This is where the shepherd comes in quietly and moves in and takes his time removing the thorns that you're stuck in. And he moves in slowly, and he cares slowly. And the sheep has to trust the shepherd. It may take time, but somehow our psychological theology views it this way. The shepherd goes, you stupid son of a, and starts kicking the little sheep when it's down. Because somehow we have this perspective that God's just a mad God. And we have to earn his love like we have to try to do with our humans or our biological fathers or mothers. And so the thing is, the next one is God does not reject me. The ultimate rejection is when you throw authenticity and you're authentic and you share your heart and nothing changes. Have you ever done that with someone? That's the ultimate rejection, when you just be yourself for the first time and say, this is what I'm going through, but God does not reject you. It says this in Psalms 94:14, for the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. That's what it means that we're not condemned. He will never forsake us. So there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He always got his loving arms around you. He's always got his loving arms around me. Even when I'm focused, it's almost to the point like that song, would you stop seeking validation from them? Because, you know, when you seek validation from someone that's never received validation themselves, how does that work? Does that make sense? It's like asking that wall to love me. It can't do it. It's broken. But God says, me, I love you. Seek validation from me. It's hard when you don't have that, touching and human stuff like that, but you have to believe God's word. See, a lot of people think, well, I did that one time because I accepted Jesus in my life one time and that's it. But let me tell you this, that every day the circumstances change around me, so therefore I have to remember and I have to process this again and again and again. This is not a one-time test. It's a one-time lesson. I have to remind myself because I have a default. You have a default. It's called sin. And so our default goes automatically to validation from somebody else, validation from boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, and you're compromising everything instead of validation. And out of that validation from God, you live out of that. And so therefore, you begin to validate others. And you begin to love others. And so let me give you this example that if you're sitting at the table with God at this feast of abundance blessings, and all of a sudden there's a blessing in your life that he's given you, and all of a sudden you just drop it on the floor and you go, oh, shoot. Do you think God would go, get off this table, get out of here, go to your room? No, because what's amazing about this is through the grace of God, there's another blessing coming. Not a one-time blessing. Why do we live a life of regret? Oh, I should have done that years ago. I should have done this years ago, and this is why I'm doing this. Dude, get to the table. Quit listening to other voices or leave the table. Get to the table because no one asked. God didn't say you could be excused. And so go back to the table and achieve your blessings. God never cuts. Let me ask this question. If God does not condemn me, then who am I to condemn myself? Isn't that the dumbest thing in the world that I do? It's like, look, if I was a $375,022 in debt, which I just randomly said that, and all of a sudden I go like this, I cannot live. All I'm doing is living to pay this debt off. You've ever been there? 80%, 40%, 30% of my salary is going to pay this debt. So what I'm doing is I'm working for things to pay off what I did. This is how the world works. But somehow Christ comes and says, give me all your financial debt. Let's say he says that. And he pays it completely off. So you don't have to look behind anymore. You don't have to look behind with regret or shame or guilt because that debt's paid. But you know what you and I do? We write the check every day. I need to pay this debt. I need to pay this debt. Dude, your debt's been forgiven. Good night. Would you quit writing checks that you have no money for anyway? Do you see what I mean? And so the thing is, you are free in Christ. There is no condemnation in Christ. This is where the prophetic words, she didn't have enough guts to tell you, I don't think. But she was telling me, the Lord put it on her heart last week, that there's child abuse going on in someone here. That all of a sudden, you guys are stuck in this prison. That God wants to free you from the prison. That God wants to free you because you're in a survival mode. And he wants to free you from it. He knows what's going on. She goes, I didn't have enough guts to say that last week. I said, let me give it to you today. And so whatever it is, it's just, man, the Holy Spirit wants to move through this to understand the debt has been completely paid. Live free. Live free in him. If God does not condemn us, then why are we to condemn ourselves? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The second thing I have to understand, there is a process that God's talking about here. Paul is talking about in Romans. There's three things. If you look at Romans, this chapter, verses 6 through 8, the three things are focused. You can't, God can't, here's how. Let's focus on the first one, God. You can't. We are told in our society you can do anything you want, just put your mind to it, right? Do you know I want to be a brain surgeon? But I have a severe tremor in my hands. How is that going to work? There's things I can't do. There's things I can't do. But God can. that I can't release some of my hurt or bitterness or resentment, but God can. Through God, I can. But here's how he does it. There are two different laws that you and I struggle with. The law of sin and death, and the law of Christ. And that's what Paul is saying. You ever had those inner struggles where you're just going, I'm having victory, and then I'm having victory, because those two laws are battling each other. The law of sin and death, and the law of, and Paul addresses this. He says this, for the law was powerless to do some things, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature. But in Christ, the law, and he calls it the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of the sin and death. This is all we want, is to live life. All we want is just to be happy. But happiness is not the things you chase. It's happiness is caused by the things you release. Do you see? Can I be happy now? Yes. Can I have joy now? Absolutely. Because God promised the joy, the peace that passes all understanding. The joy is not circumstantial, but the joy is the inner experience that you and I have through Jesus Christ. Some of you got to let go of your revenge. Let go of getting back. Let go of trying to validate. Let go of trying to fix things that I've already done. And let it go. It's almost like taking the wheel. Go ahead, take the wheel. And so the thing is, what I like about that song, do you want to be happy? Yes. Then you need to do this. Because we think if we get back, we could do this or revenge. You know, I've had opportunities for revenge. There's no happiness in it. There really isn't. We have these fantasies in our head that, well, Phil, say this, we'll do this. But I've had the opportunity, and I just was broken. It just was sad. And so Romans 7, again, he was struggling. Paul was struggling. But Romans 8, it's almost like the Holy Spirit walks into the room. Can you imagine that emotional room that you have? That secret room you have. And the Holy Spirit just comes in and brings his presence and says, you ready to clean some house? Now, how does God do this? How does he replace one law with the other law? He does five things, and I'll do them real quickly. First, he sent his son. He loves us. He sent his son. His son, the second, he sent his son in the likeness of a sinful man. Everything that you are going through in secret, Jesus has gone through it himself. But yet he did not sin. He understands. He knows how to give the direction. He knows how this. Third thing, he came in the likeness of a sinful man to be the sin offering. That's your debt that he paid. Complete debt. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin so that in him we might become the righteous of God. Not in our self-righteousness, but in the righteousness of God. The fourth one, he condemned sin in a sinful man. Again, there is no condemnation for us in Jesus. And the fifth one, he fulfilled righteous law in us. All the requirements of the law were fulfilled in us because Jesus gave his life for us. It's powerful. Because you have to understand, If I hold this pen, the law of gravity has no effect on it. That's what God's doing with you. The life has no effect because he can bypass the other law when we allow it. You may be hopeless in a situation. You may look at your marriage, your job situation, all that stuff. And I want to encourage you, as I'm encouraging myself, embrace it. Change your perspective. Let Jesus take the wheel. Let the joy happen. May you get discipline. May you understand that you don't lose 95 pounds in 1 week. But it's a process of commitment, of saying, that I didn't. And this is a process that I need to do with my dad. I wrote at the beginning of the email, simply said, I've tried all my life to get your validation. And they ended the email and said that I need to step back emotionally and be free. Doesn't mean I'm going to be a terrible, terrible son. Doesn't mean I'm not going to talk to him ever and ever again. But just means I'm not going to seek the validation anymore. I'm going to be free. But it's going to take a lot of discipline on my part. I've got to set the default in my head. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I can't do it. And many of you are in the same situation right now. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I can't do it. And so as I close this message today, I just want to encourage you. Be with me. Embrace something that you've been putting off. Be what God has anointed you to be. You are a precious child of Christ, whom he's well pleased. That's the words you need. That's your default that needs to be set. And if you need Renee or myself to lay hands on you and pray. Now, when Renee prays for you, she speaks prophetic in your ear. So you're going to hear God speak to you. During communion, I want you to come kneel at the altar. And now Renee will pray over here. I will pray over here. You choose according. This one's a little scary. This one's over here is predictable. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless his word.